Welcome to Casteros. My name is Christian Corley. I'm hosting solo again this week, but I hope you've enjoyed last week's episode in which James and myself discussed the Terminator and pretty much everything else in existence alongside it. Now, that one launched first on Patreon, as our podcasts do these days, and a shorter version is hitting the Spotify's and Amazon's and Apple podcasts today, Thursday the 14th of November. This episode that you're hearing now will go up first on Patreon, hello, and then it will also follow a few days later via the usual outlets. Now, that sort of staggered schedule is what we're doing from now on, and usually, if it's a special discussion, then it tends to be me and James full length on Patreon and then a shorter version on the popular podcast sites. However, we've got the Box of Delights interview with Chris Chapman coming up at the end of the month, and that's going out full length on both Patreon and Spotify / Apple / Amazon / wherever you usually get your podcasts. So look out for that. Okay. Let's go on with this week's look at the world of classic television, cult television, and stuff generally that I like, and by extension, you probably do as well. Okay, you probably know that there's a new Gladiator movie, Gladiator 2. It's been imaginatively titled, and it's been over 20 years since Gladiator, the movie, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Russell Crowe and various other people. Derek Jacobi, he's in there, and Joaquin Phoenix, and various others. Gladiator 2 is coming out this week. It's actually coming out on November the 15th, so tomorrow as I record this. And a study has been carried out by Showcase Cinemas, found that 43% of Gen Z have never seen Gladiator. So I'll just let that sink in. They've never seen Gladiator. That's 43% of Gen Z have never seen Gladiator. I know I've repeated it, but I mean, it's on TV enough. How have they missed it? I don't know. The study also named Gladiator as the UK's second period drama film of all time. That kind of qualifier, period drama, is pushing things slightly, I think. It was behind, unsurprisingly, Titanic in first place there. Now, it's interesting how this kind of like ties in with our vaguely, roughly, tangentially with our Terminator chat last week, because obviously we talked about Alien movies as well, and there's the Ridley Scott influence input there into Alien and some of the sequels. So, yeah, that's kids haven't seen Gladiator. I mean, look, we're parents, a lot of us, listening to this, of a certain vintage, with children. How have your children not seen Gladiator? Well, you know, I stand here and I say that, and then I think to myself, my eldest two have not seen Gladiator. So maybe it's something we're just keeping for ourselves, you know? Maybe we just don't want the youngsters to have the amazing stuff that we had, lest it be spoiled in some way through overexposure. Okay, a bit more closer to home now in terms of time and space, but nothing to do with time and space. Midsummer Murders. A poll on the Midsummer Murders Facebook page has revealed the official top 20 Midsummer Murders episodes. Now, here's a little fact that you may not know. Our erstwhile podcast colleague, Brian Terranova, loves Midsummer Murders. And, you know, I'll be honest, I love Midsummer Murders too. My wife and I regularly rewatch Midsummer Murders, and we also, don't tell anyone, we also download the episodes that have been screened in America before they're screened here. But don't tell anyone, okay? Because that's naughty. So anyway, now the interesting thing about this official top 20 of Midsummer Murders episodes is that although despite retiring from the role of Tom Barnaby in 2011 and completing 14 years on the series, the overwhelming majority of episodes listed in this top 20 star John Nettles. As a result of that, the smaller proportion of episodes star Neil Dudgeon as his cousin John Barnaby, which obviously you may not know this, they made them cousins because in Scandinavian countries, Midsummer Murders is called Inspector Barnaby, and they didn't want to change the name. So, yeah, so there's a great selection of episodes in here. There's a few that stand out. There's Midsummer Rhapsody, which features a girl that had been on the X Factor as a folk singer. There is also The Sword of Guillaume, which has Mark Gatiss in it and also has both John Nettles and Neil Gudgeon. That's kind of like the handover episode. The Axeman Cometh is fantastic. It's got Susie Quattro in it, as well as James Cosmo. They're part of a rock band. And there is also The Creeper, which has the incomparable Rick Mayall in a guest role. And he absolutely, I mean, it's not surprising. I don't know if he was supposed to die. They killed him pretty early in the episode because he was stealing every scene, basically. But no. That's a very good one as well. But the whole list of 20 is very good. Now, I know Midsummer Murders is very much, if you like, an acquired taste. It's a cozy murder mystery drama, isn't it? And that's not for everyone. Some people like, you know, real life crime. Some people prefer something, you know, like CSI or NCIS, or more people prefer hardcore stuff like The Criminal Minds or The Sopranos or whatever. Midsummer Murders is lovely. It is cozy. But it's not the only show that's like that. There's Beyond Paradise and Death in Paradise as well, and Beyond Paradise. There's the show that Sally Lindsay does, the Madame Blanc mysteries on Channel 5. There's a whole genre of cozy murder mysteries or cozy mystery shows. And Midsummer Murders is undoubtedly the best of them, I think. Interestingly, my wife and I watched the most recent episode, yes, again, on Sunday evening. And this was the one where there's murders taking place around a drag queen festival in Midsummer in a little village. I don't think that happens. But anyway, and I did find it was a little bit slow-paced, a little bit, I don't want to say dreary, but just a little bit, it seemed to lack a bit of energy. So, you know, this may be because the lead, Neil Dudgeon, you know, he's been doing it nearly as long, if not longer now, than John Nettles did. So it might be that it is his time to move on and regenerate into another Barnaby cousin. Who knows? Anyway, that's Midsummer Murders' top 20 episodes. You can find the full list of those in the show notes. And, you know, in case you're wondering, number one is, unsurprisingly, the very first episode, The Killings at Badger's Drift. Okay, we move on to, we've had a bit of music news in the majority of these solo shows. And this is along the same lines, but this is something a little bit different. This is about the most mysterious song on the internet. Yeah. So what's happened is that a guy, when he was a child, recorded a song off the radio onto a cassette tape. But no one knew what the song on the tape was called. An entire subreddit has been birthed, amassing over 59,000 members, dedicated to finding the name of the mysterious song, which it was dubbed by the boy and his family. It's taken years for this song to be identified. Now, you might think, well, surely every song from the 80s has been played on the radio, has released as a record. You know, there's books like the Guinness Book of World Hit Singles and, you know, various other tomes, music magazines, etc., etc., etc. You would think that, yes, this song must be identifiable a lot sooner than 40 years later. But no, it wasn't. And do you know why? Because it was German. Now, I'm going to quote from this article on the iflscience.com website. A few years ago, the search looked pretty cold, but renewed interest has finally led to the band and song being identified. Reddit user Marine1412 was looking through old newspaper archives when they spotted an article about a band named Fex from Kiel, Germany, dated September 1984. The Redditor recognised one of the band members from another band he was in named Fret, with a PH. I managed to get in touch with him and asked him if he still had some old material from those bands. He then sent me some of the songs he made with Fex and Fret, the Redditor explained. And lo and behold, one of them was titled Subways of Your Mind. It's a slightly different version from the one we know. Subways of Your Mind is the mysterious song. Let's have a little bit of it. Yeah, it's clearly German. Yeah, we'll just leave it there. They're no Nainer, are they? Anyway, so that is the most mysterious song on the internet. Now, this wonderful combination of things there. You've got some music, you've got 80s music, you've got the internet coming together to solving a mystery. I think it's fantastic. So I'm going to link to this article on iflscience.com called After Years of Searching, the Most Mysterious Song on the internet has been identified, and you can then check that out for yourself. The wonders of modern technology, right there for all to enjoy. Now, here's a bit of Doctor Who adjacent news. There's a new line of spin-offs coming from Candy Jar Books. They're the publishers behind the Lethbridge-Stewart novels and various other related materials. We've had them on the podcast in the past and discussed that range with them. Candy Jar Books revives 1970s TV classic, prepare yourselves, Nobody's House. It was a kids' TV show from the 1970s, originally created by Doctor Who producer Derek Sherwin, along with Martin Hoare. And it introduced viewers to a ghost, Nobody. The curse of Jack Treadful follows the Sinclair family as they move into Cornerstone's house, unaware that a ghost named Nobody is determined to protect his home. This is such a nice concept for storytelling and as a story. So it's really interesting that this has been brought up to date by Baz Greenland. Candy Jar Books says that Baz Greenland has done a fantastic job of bringing this classic story into the 21st century. Fans of the original show will love the nods to its history, while new readers will be enchanted by the mix of humour, heart and just the right amount of spookiness. Baz Greenland's previously worked on a Doctor Who spin-off series, the Lucy Wilson Mysteries. I would say that something like this, something that exists but most people don't know of, beyond a very specific vintage, this has got the potential to be kind of quite big. Baz Greenland states, I wanted to capture everything I used to love about the original show while adding a fresh modern twist. I used the first two episodes as a starting point and incorporated as much of Derek Sherwin's dialogue as possible, especially with iconic characters like Jack Treadful. I think fans of the original series will appreciate the nods to the past, but I also hope new readers find it just as engaging. I think new readers are going to find it far more interesting that they never heard of it. And it just looks like something new rather than something that might be based on a TV show. I don't know if they're going to be promoting the fact that it is based on a TV show. I would think probably it's a good idea not to, because it's quite, you know, it's already a very good concept. It does say on the cover, based on the ITV series. I don't think there's any need for that. It's a great concept for a book series, Nobody's House. So best of luck to Candy Jar Books for that. Link to that are in the show notes. Okay, so if you've made it through to this part of the show, you're got to have to prepare yourself for the prospect that you might be heading to patreon.com/Casterbris. Now, why would you do that? Well, everything you've heard so far was pretty much up to date when it was aired on the podcast through Patreon a few days ago, but now it's a little bit later. If you signed up to our free Patreon, you get the podcast early, you get the podcast ad-free, and you get longer editions and additional material if you are on our Patreon. Now, this is a standard length edition, so you won't get any extra material on this particular edition of the podcast through Patreon, but our other shows, for instance, the Terminator edition that's just hitting Spotify this week, that's longer on Patreon. And various other shows that we've done between myself and James, or myself and James and a guest, they are longer on Patreon than they are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. So there really is a massive benefit to using our Patreon. It also enables us to drop messages into your Patreon app, giving you updates as to when new episodes are coming. Can tell you about the competition that we're running at the moment for a copy of the Red Dwarf Discovering the TV Series Volume 1. The competition for this is ending soon, and it's only open to people with a Patreon account. It is a free account. We do have a paid option for our Patreon that gives you free copies of some materials that we've published in the past and a couple of other bonuses, but that's entirely optional and doesn't affect your ability to listen to Casterbris. So please check out our podcast at patreon.com/Casterbris. Okay, it's Kickstarter time now, and I want to tell you about a project which has reached funding, but it's still got 11 days to go, so you can still support it. This is called Secret Passages Number 1, an old school RPG and old hammer magazine. It's packed with interviews and illustrations, and is planned as a quarterly zine exploring the RPGs and war games of the past. This is being developed by James Hoare, and it is really aimed at the graph paper generation, the bright green flocked base generation, the fighting fantasy hand cramp fingers for bookmarks generation, the red white dwarf from cover to cover generation, the source books in our school bags generation. I am reading from the Kickstarter here. So the first issue features an Into a World of Magic and Mayhem feature, interview with the vampire about Vampire the Masquerade, feature on Dave Carson's artwork for Call of Cthulhu, I can't say that word, and his contributions to Fighting Fantasy, and various other things. Steve Jackson games, Warhammer 40,000, Dungeons and Dragons, all that stuff. James Hoare wrote to the editor of White Dwarf when he was 10. So he's really into RPGs and tabletop gaming. So this is really a labour of love. And he's got a team together, Chris Hutchings, Tom Evans, Michael Dodd, Harry Slater, Karina Malieva, Richard Sampson. This is an exciting project that, as I say, has already been funded. It has raised £4,358. The target was £3,900. It's got 165 backers already. There are still 11 days to go on this, so you can still back this project. If you are a fan of tabletop games, classic tabletop gaming in particular, Secret Passages, I mean, you know, the clue's in the name. This looks absolutely fantastic. And the images in the Kickstarter from the zine look great as well. There are variable rewards. You can get it in print and PDF. You can get it with an art bundle. You can get a 4-issue subscription as well. So yeah, check that out. Just head over to the Kickstarter, have a look at that. I think you'll be impressed by how it looks. And if tabletop games is your thing, then think about supporting it. You can back it from as little as £6 for the PDF only version. I think that's pretty good value. That's pretty much what a magazine would cost you. And this is a 64-page quarterly A5 format publication. Now, talking about Kickstarter, we mentioned a Kickstarter a few weeks ago, a very specific one, Terry Pratchett's Discworld RPG Adventures in Ankh-Morpork. That project raised Well, I'll tell you what, it managed to, just managed to reach funding on November the 7th. I am lying, obviously. It was looking for £100,000. It has pledged, or backers have pledged, 16,774 backers have pledged £2,328,856 to support this project. So, I mean, congratulations. If you backed it, you are almost certainly getting a Discworld RPG soon. That's fantastic news. It looks amazing. I really fancy that myself. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to back it, but there's still time. There's still time. You can still late pledge to get any available rewards should you wish to. It is the obligatory missing believed wiped section of Casterbris. I should say that I do find this stuff very interesting, and I do kind of feature it in every edition because, you know, missing episode stuff, Doctor Who missing episodes, really is the launch point for this. The fact that so much stuff appears to be missing. You may not know this, just as an aside, I run a retro gaming newsletter at retrogamerbase.com. And there's a newsletter that goes out usually every other day, sometimes every day, collating a collection of retro-style games that have been newly developed by indie developers and old games that have been reissued, usually on PlayStation 4 and 5 and Nintendo Switch, sometimes on curated collections such as for the Evercade consoles, which you may have seen in department stores or game stores or HMV or whatever. But these games that you see, they are, in the most part, these games are the games that people remember. The games that people forget kind of tend to not be re-released because, well, they've been forgotten about. Now, I think I mentioned in the Terminator episode last week a website called Games That Weren't. That's a good place to check out video games that weren't released. They in themselves have their own, you know, forgotten history. But there are plenty of other games that were released and people forgot about. And there are shows that people released that broadcasters aired that weren't recorded or weren't kept, I should say, by the broadcaster. Now, the latest one of these, which I think is of some interest, is a Bob Monkhouse hosted episode of Family Fortunes. It's been uploaded onto YouTube. It's dated the 9th of January 1982. It's from Series 3. It's the third episode of that run. And it's quite fascinating. The picture quality isn't great, I'll be honest, but it does start off. Yeah, there you go. It does start off with a countdown clock, and it's been produced by ATV. The ATV logo is there, and it's about to start now in less than 5 seconds, according to the clock. The screen's gone black. Here it is. There's the ATV logo and the famous chime.
Fortune. With the Fountain family from Morton and Marsh, Barbara, Jenny, Adrian, Sarah and Jack, and from home, the Jenman family, Lolly, Sandra, Anita, Hannah and Denise, all here to play Family Fortune.
Now, the interesting thing about Family Fortunes is you might just say, oh, it's just a game show. Oh, Bob Monkhouse, he's an old school comedian. Oh, he's a bit of a Tory, etc., etc., etc. None of those things I care about. The reason this is interesting is you've got two families there, the Pouncins and the Fenmans. They've had their moment on TV in 1981, 82, did we say? 1982. And then it's gone missing. If they didn't record it, or if the video cassette broke or got tied up in the VHS machine or whatever, that episode has been lost. Their big moment on TV, winning, you know, I don't know, some sort of camping set or a workbench or whatever. A nice set of plates, a new fridge, freezer, state-of-the-art cassette player and radio, or a cuddly toy, or a picnic set, whatever. They lost that, and there wasn't a way to see it again until it was rediscovered and is now being uploaded on to YouTube. So if you know the Pountains or the Fenmans, you know, small chance, I know. It's now online. You can view it, and you know they may be very grateful to know that it is available to watch on YouTube. And aside from anything else, it is hosted by one of Britain's comedy greats, Bob Monkhouse. Okay, so that brings us to the end of this week's Casterbus. This has been a news update edition, so you can check out all of the stuff in the show notes that we've linked to, games, TV shows that have been lost until recently, something to do with candy jar books, and Midsummer Murders, quite a mix this week. And also, once again, managed to get in a bit of music. Now, James isn't with me this week because we weren't able to arrange our schedules properly. Hopefully, we'll be chatting again in the near future. If you are, for some reason, desiring the sound of James's voice, he's in the last episode about the Terminator, and also a couple of episodes before that concerning Red Dwarf. So I'll be back next week for another episode, regardless of whether it's one like this or me and James chatting about stuff. We've also got the Box of Delights episode coming up at the end of November. If you want to be in with a chance to win Red Dwarf Discovering the TV Series Volume 1 by Tom Selinski, first of all, you need to be a Patreon member. You should probably also check out the podcast concerning it as well. It's a good old chat about the show. Visit patreon.com/Casterbus, sign up as a free member of our Patreon, and you will get an entry to Red Dwarf Discovering the TV Series Volume 1. The closing date for our giveaway for Red Dwarf Discovering the TV Series is Friday the 22nd of November. So you need to join our Patreon before that date. Until next time, it's goodbye. Theme tune here. Bam, 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 bam.